Elementary music teacher friend, you love what you do, but you might feel unappreciated and, in fact, unseen some days. You may even feel like you're on a music teacher island and just want to connect with other music teachers who can relate to both your struggles and wins when it comes to teaching elementary music. I get you and understand completely the feelings you're having. That's why each and every week, the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast will provide you with solo and guest episodes that will help you realize you're not alone in your music teaching journey. Throughout each episode, my goal is for you to be able to walk away with actionable steps and ideas to help you feel like you're ready to take on the new week with whatever challenges may be thrown your way. Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Paresta, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're at home, in your car, in the shower, or wherever else you're listening, grab your cup of coffee or whatever other beverage is nearby and listen in to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast.
I'm Angela Kelly Robeck, host of the Empowered Principal Podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Hey friend, I am so excited to invite you to a free 3-day challenge called the Reflect and Renew Challenge. In this free challenge, you'll begin to think about teaching elementary music in a new way. In just 3 days, you'll go from feeling overwhelmed to confident and will surround yourself with other music teachers who will support and encourage you. Day one is all about reflecting. You'll reflect back over where you're at in the school year and identify the highs and lows, no matter if you are joining this challenge at the beginning, middle, or end of the school year. We start with reflecting first in order to move forward successfully. Day two is all about processing. You'll process through what it is you need to focus on to make your music teaching situation successful. Then day three is all about renewal. You'll break through mindset beliefs while setting goals and action steps to help you meet them. Each day of the challenge, you'll be getting a daily challenge email that will contain action steps for you to take. So simply head to subscribepage.com/reflect-and-renew-challenge to save your seat, and I'll see you there. Welcome back to the podcast. Today's episode is all about how long to spend on a particular song or idea. This is something I've thought about in my own teaching practice and something I have definitely talked to many music teachers about as well. It can be confusing when you're lesson planning and you know what songs you want to use to teach towards a certain concept or objective, yet you're not quite sure how long within a class period to spend on that song, or if you should use that song or activity in more than one lesson. So I'm going to kind of break down the process that I use when determining how long to spend on a song or activity, and then hopefully you will be able to determine from this episode how long you should be able to spend on a song or activity moving forward. The first thing I want to say is to read the room. Now, I'm not talking about really reading like a book, but what I mean by read the room is know the students you have in front of you. I know this sounds way easier said than done. What I mean by this is I gauge, this is kind of a form of assessment, honestly, if the song or activity is going well, are my students getting it? Are they confused? Do they ask to do this particular song or activity again? Is it not going how I thought it would to teach towards the concept I wanted it to teach towards? So when I say read the room, I am literally looking at the students I have in front of me, their various ages and their learning styles, and I am determining based on that feedback if this song or activity should continue going, if it should tie into another lesson, or if it's kind of like a one and done type of situation. The next thing I want to say is to look at your scope and sequence that you have in front of you, whether it's already done for you, whether you've gone through my curriculum design roadmap course and you've created your own, whatever you have in front of you, I want you to look at it. And I have instructed teachers, this is the way I've done it as well, is sometimes, to be honest with you, it is a guessing game. it is saying, I want to use this song to teach towards steady beat, or definitely this movement activity or body percussion. And I'm going to pencil in, I'm doing this for two lessons. That probably is, let's be honest, for the majority of you, 2 weeks, because you might see your students once a week. And so you're saying, I'm going to use this particular activity for 2 weeks. But let's go back to my first comment about reading the room. You will know once you observe your students and kind of get that data from just observing if this activity should be extended into even 3 or 4 weeks. Now, I'm going to talk about it a little bit, how to use a song in multiple ways. So I know that's probably one of your thoughts is, well, if I use it for more than 2 lessons, my kids are going to be burnt out. Not necessarily, because there is a lot more that you can do to a song than just singing it. So, but I want you to look at your scope and sequence, and then on it, it'll say how long to spend on a particular song. If you have not ever gotten to that point where you have penciled in songs and activities on a scope and sequence, that's okay. But you can just kind of start making notes by a song of even why for yes and for no, meaning yes, this worked well, no, this did not work well. You could even put next to a song, if you've created a song and activities list, you could put a number for how many class periods you want to spend on that, and then go back to that document and change it based upon the way you've read the room with your students. So then I'm going to talk about going back to data, the data of observing your students, the data of what you just tracked, where you have written down notes around this song or activity. Look at that data to drive your decision-making moving forward. Then in the next school year, for example, you'll be able to see that data of where you have tracked how many weeks or if the song worked or not. And then you'll be able to make decisions of how you want to use that song moving forward from the data you have tracked. Another form of data, obviously, is assessments, both formal and informal. So if you're reading the room of your students, not just informally, but you're also assessing, are they kind of getting it or not? That's going to definitely help you when it comes to data and tracking how long to spend on a particular song or activity idea. Okay, so let's talk about thinking about what you want to do with this particular song. So when you're looking at a song, everybody's going to present a song to your students in different ways. So let's say at first you're having them listen to you sing it, or they're observing you pat the steady beat to a song. Whatever the concept is obviously the way you're going to present the song to your students in different ways. So after they've done that, then they're practicing maybe with using solfege, or they're following the melodic direction with their hands to a song. Then from there, you may want to implement some instruments. What instruments? How are you going to want to present the instruments? What are they doing with these instruments? There should always be a rhyme or reason to what you do with your students, of course. So then from there, you may want to incorporate some movement or a dance. Also, you may want your students to do some kind of improvising or composing. You may want them to have some discussion in groups around the song. You may want them to practice rhythms to the song. So obviously, every song or activity is not going to use every single one of those elements I just talked about. So this is where you as a teacher get to make informed decisions about what you want to do with your students and how long you want to use this particular song or activity, what exactly are you wanting to do around it. And so when you're looking at it, go back to the data we talked about, go back to how you read the room, looking at your scope and sequence, and then you will be able to see, okay, I'm wanting to use this particular song to really enforce the difference between beat and rhythm. Let's say it's with first grade. Okay, so how long will I need to use this song in order to do that? Well, I think 2 class periods would be great. Class period 1, I'm going to do this. Class period 2, I will do this. Now, also remember that you can revisit a certain song or activity later on in the school year. It does not always have to be taught back-to-back lessons. You can introduce it and reuse it, and then later on in the school year, bring it back to do something else to the song, because it definitely can be used to teach towards multiple concepts. So this is also when backwards planning plays a part. You think about the bigger picture of, okay, this is the concept I'm teaching. This is the unit around it. I'm breaking it down into smaller lessons. And then I'm going to determine what the point of the lesson or song is and determining if it needs more than 1 week. So these are all just some general ideas of what I do and what my thought process is around how long to spend on a particular song or idea. One other point I do want to make is, I've talked about this before, but thinking about the ages of your students, this goes back to reading the room. So for example, fourth or fifth graders, you will, for me anyways, especially in the spring, if you're doing recorder or ukulele, or I know I do composition units or bucket drumming, you're going to want to spend, obviously, several weeks on that activity, because it won't just be a 1 week thing and then it's done. Where kindergarten will probably need a few different songs rotated in. So think about the ages of your students as well. If you're continuing on a unit or a concept with fourth and fifth grade and it's, you know, you're spending more time on it, you may not need to do that with your younger grades because their units of study and the concepts they're covering are going to obviously be different because they're different ages and they do different things in the music room. So I hope that even just one of these ideas you're able to take away and maybe even just change your mindset around. Maybe you felt stuck a little bit in this area, and that's my goal, is just to help you move forward. So if you have any questions, as usual, definitely make sure you reach out to me. I'm here to support you however I can. And happy new year. I'm so excited for 2024 and what this year has in store. It's going to be amazing. And as you're heading back to school, if you haven't already headed back yet, I hope that you have a fantastic start to your brand new year. I'll talk to you soon, friends. Have an amazing day.
Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening into the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. There is an exclusive Facebook group just for listeners of this podcast and any elementary music teacher called the Elementary Music Teacher Community Facebook group. Come on over and join us there, where we have conversations around the podcast episodes and encourage each other each and every week. And also head to my website, thedomesticmusician.com. I have some free resources there that you can download to help you gain traction in your classroom today, as well as the blog and the membership site and all kinds of other goodies to help you keep going in your music teaching journey. I cannot wait to keep connecting with you and encouraging you and spurring you on in your journey of teaching elementary music. Hang in there, have an amazing week, and I will see you soon.